Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, cyberbullying, the American Songbook, and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Yes, with the help of my guests, we will indeed tie all those things together. Tyler Clementi made national and international news in 2010. The 18-year-old Rutgers University freshman killed himself after his dormitory roommate captured him on webcam in intimate moments with another man and then invited other students to view those images. Tyler was freshly out of the closet and trying to establish himself in his new social surroundings of college, and the webcam images brought ridicule and humiliation. His suicide has been a prime example of the devastating effects of cyberbullying. Tyler's mother, Jane Clementi, is here with us tonight to share some of his story and hers. She and Tyler's father co-founded the Tyler Clementi Foundation to promote safe, inclusive, and respectful social environments for LGBT youth and their allies. Jane Clementi, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here. Thanks.
We're joined also by Timothy Seelig, Artistic Director and Conductor of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, which performs the world premiere of a choral suite honoring Tyler Clementi next Tuesday and Wednesday at Davies Symphony Hall. It's called Tyler's Suite. It features Anne Hampton Calloway, among others, and is part of the concert Luster, an American Songbook. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. And also, actually, James Clementi, a little bit to my surprise, is here. He said he may not speak, but if he's here if you want to. This is Tyler's brother, who also happens to be gay. And actually, it's kind of convenient you're here because I did want to ask a little bit at some point later about a little bit of the dynamics around Tyler's coming out and yours and how all that came down. So, Jane, you and I are meeting for the first time right now. I usually like to have a little bit of talk time, at least by phone, especially when talking about such a personal subject. But your son Tyler's tragic death brings up so much. In our fairly limited time here, 15 minutes or so, what's the most important for you to talk about and to let our listeners know?
I think for me it's that my husband and I really do not want to see any other youth be put in a place or a position that Tyler was put in. And we think that we need to make some changes and we need to help create some safe social environments, like you were saying, within the family, within the home, within schools, but also within, for me personally, within faith communities. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real important issue.
So if you could just give us the sort of basic elements of what happened. I know it's a few years ago, so you've gone through it a lot, I'm sure, but I'm sorry to put you through it again, but just so people know the kind of the basic facts. I mean, Tyler had. And do you want to pitch in on this, James, too? Because you sort of knew about what was going on at the time. Tyler had come out very. This is during his summer year, right before after high school and before going to college. Is that right?
Yes, he had come out 2 days before he left for college.
Okay, to you and to your family.
To us, yes. Mm-hmm. I believe he may have come out to one or two other friends, close friends, before mm-hmm. that, but other and also I found out after the fact he had come out to James in July. That
actually,
summer.
I came out to Tyler earlier in the summer, soon after he graduated high school, and he responded by telling me that he also was gay. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he hadn't told anybody else in our family. And I think that he definitely wanted our parents to know, which is why he did end up coming out before he left for school. But I think maybe the fact that he waited until 2 days before leaving for college to tell our mom and dad had to do with how difficult a decision that was for him. And I think he also wanted to leave for school with a cleared air, you know, and just feeling like he now had the freedom to be himself, and yet he was still very vulnerable at that point and didn't really know, you know, I mean, he was a very sheltered kid in a lot of ways, and I think that he didn't really understand how sometimes there can be people that come into your life that actually will want to hurt you or take advantage of you or use you in some way or degrade you in some way. He hadn't had that experience in high school. I don't think he had been bullied previously. And so he really wasn't maybe completely prepared to deal with the emotional repercussions of being targeted in such a vulnerable place.
So this roommate that he just randomly was assigned to be a dormitory roommate with had a webcam and took some video, or I guess of him.
Like, no video. It was live stream.
Live streaming.
On his Facebook page, I believe. He asked.
Well, he announced it.
He announced his on his
page
face,
and Facebook.
Right. But. And to have his friends, the roommate's friends, watch in at a certain time, and he made it live.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler kind of knew that that was going to happen. I mean, he knew about it once, and then he was afraid it was going to happen. Some of the news reports I read said that he sort of had a feeling that it might happen again, and that made him very...
He didn't know the first time, but then he was thinking that it might happen again because he had looked at the Facebook page of the
roommate
that said, watch. And so Tyler actually disabled it mm-hmm. so that it did not... view anything
a
second time, but he had set it up to do it a second time. And actually the first time what he did, he not only told other people to do it, but he went to the room across the hall because he had known that person in that room across the hall from high school. And he said, hey, look at this. And he logged in on her computer, which is where there were other people involved at Rutgers.
Okay, so other people were sort of actively watching
they,
at the same time.
They called people in from the common space mm-hmm. to come in and watch and
okay.
look. And then they Twittered about it and Facebooked about it.
And so the effect on Tyler was what? That he was just kind of mortified by this?
What I think, because we didn't know, because he didn't express anything to us, and actually most of this fact we didn't even know until the trial. And we part of the prosecutor's case was that they had logged the logs from Tyler's computer of how many times within the last 20 hours that he had gone on to his Facebook time. I don't remember. It was like 100 times.
And, it's like and 30 or 40 times.
Yeah, it was a lot, and then it was for long periods. So he was getting obsessive and compulsed about that, mm-hmm. and he kept looking back to that.
Right.
The last thing that he logged on to in his room was that before he left.
And he actually put a post of some sort that he was going to jump off the George Washington Bridge. Is that right? Did he
put
something on the Facebook
from the bridge, he texted on his Facebook page or added a comment that I believe the comment was, I'm sorry.
Jumping off GWB, sorry.
Wow. So you and Jane, you and your husband Joseph's bio on your foundation, the Tyler Clemente Foundation website, alludes to Joseph being unaware of how, you know, technology intensifies and exacerbates, that's his words, youth bullying. So what's your sense of how bullying has changed since you were a kid?
Well, in the good old days when I was young, bullying occurred face-to-face, for one thing. So you would actually see the pain that was being inflicted. So most people would, I would hope, think not to want to do that, to cause someone such pain. But besides that, you would only do it on the playground or in the classroom, and there would be yourself and maybe two or three other people involved. But with social media in today's day and age, can go so much further and so much faster. Within a few short minutes, it could maybe 100 people, 200 people, however many friends you have on your Facebook, will read your Facebook wall and know what's happening
mm-hmm.
And what you're stating about to other people. So, I mean, Facebook and social media have good points too. It's only as the technology is only as good as the person using it,
right.
or as bad as the person using it, because it actually helps many people stay in community and find support. Also, when you blog with other people, if you're having difficulty in social situations, you can find friends and help also that way. So there is good with social media. I'm not opposed to social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it's used that's the problem.
It's okay to be opposed to social media. I think I am most of the time, too.
Well,
I like to think as social media is often asocial, but that's my own thing. You know, your bio on your website also says that you have made difficult choices in an impossible situation. And I wonder what you mean by that, what difficult choices you've had to make over the last few years.
I believe that's alluding to the fact that I, a year and a half ago, I did leave the faith community that I had called home for many years, for about 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, interestingly, our faith community did show us and shower us with great love and support in a very dark time of my life. Mm-hmm. But as I slowly started waking up from the experience of losing Tyler, and I started hearing things probably with new ears, because there wasn't much spoken about in our church home. We did go to an evangelical church, and there was not much spoken, but the occasional word that was heard was not positive, was mm-hmm. very negative. And I realized that...
About gay people in general.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess they still continue to preach that love the sinner, hate the sin. And I just couldn't stand by and hear that any longer, because I do not think homosexuality is a sin. So I just couldn't. And actually what happened was it dates back to the spring of 2012, I guess, when New Jersey would have had the ability at that time to have marriage equality, and our governor wouldn't sign the bill. And it was at that point that our pastor, out of months of no preaching about homosexuality or anything, decided that that was time to preach, not a whole sermon, but just actually the sermon was on marriage in general, and then a line or two of what the church felt marriage was and wasn't. And then, of course, the church felt it was not marriage equality.
And one thing that I thought was interesting that you told me when you kind of had a conversation with the pastor and challenged him a bit on his statements, he came back to you with the response of, it's not what I think is right, it's what God thinks is right. You know, and I just thought that the audaciousness of claiming to know what God wants was pretty
The words are written
ridiculous.
Right there. Can't you read them, Jane? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I don't really read them in that sense. Mm-hmm. So, and it was at that point I was kind of waking up, and we were also starting to talk about upstanders.
I noticed this big thing on your website, which is great. Tell us about that. By the way, you're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Jane Clementi and James Clementi, the mother and brother, respectively, of Tyler Clementi, who committed suicide in 2010 after being, cyberbullied. His intimate meeting with another man by his college roommate was put on webcam, and he couldn't stand that. It was terrible for him, to say the least. I just feel like I really screwed that up there. I want to ask you something else. What prompted you and your husband to form the foundation? And Matthew Shepard's mother, Judy, turned activist, and she, I know, dislikes the news media. She's quite an introvert, and I'm wondering how you have coped with all of this.
Well, I definitely do not like the news media. Sorry okay. to tell you that.
That's okay. That's
but
okay.
But I also see that a lot of good could be used by the media. And I think that even with Tyler's situation, I think, again, as I wake up and I can look at it from a different perspective than when I was going through it, I think that a lot of conversations were started by Tyler's story. And many people could relate to some part of Tyler's story. So I think that because of that, if it hadn't been covered by the media, a lot of conversations would not have been started about bullying, about cyberbullying, particularly LGBT issues. I think if anybody knows anything, it's Tyler Clementi, the young gay Rutgers University freshman. That's it. You know, I mean, that's all they know about Tyler. And yet there's something in that that many people can relate to. We've heard many, many stories back. So we just feel that we want to continue to use that and harness that energy and continue those conversations, because I think a lot has happened in the last two and a half years, actually. Saturday will be 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that, sadly, there's still more that mm-hmm. needs to happen. Especially, I've met people from all over the country, and even though there are some more welcoming and accepting and easier areas, Certainly I thought New Jersey was, but that still happened to Tyler in New Jersey. So,
thank you so much for sharing your story. I know it's difficult. I interviewed Judy Shepherd a few years ago, and she said, you know, it's one of the ways she's able to make sense out of this is to actually be able to talk about it, even though she doesn't like doing it, but she kind of knows she has to. Timothy Selig, San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus Artistic Director, I want to ask both of you, actually, how did Tyler Sweet, this new choral composition that the SF Gay Men's Chorus will premiere on Tuesday, come about? Tell us about the inspiration and the collaboration.
The universe. That's what it was. Because it's sort of hard to even go back and unravel every conversation that happened, but the tie between the Clemente Foundation and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus is one of our community board members, Peter Drake, who has his own foundation, the COIL Foundation, and what they do is much the same as the Tyler Clemente Foundation in that it is bringing the faith community together with the LGBT community. And so Peter was in New York, met the Clemente family at an event with the foundation, and knowing that Tyler loved music and Peter loves music and loves the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, he said, wouldn't it be great if the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus wrote some music about something about Tyler? That's probably about how nebulous it was, and I'm sure Jane, being gracious, said, sure, that's nice. Now, run along, and you know, that's nice. But Peter Drake is not one of those people that takes yes lightly. So, you know, you could have said something else, but you said yes, and the rest...
You ran with it.
The rest is, as they say, history, but it's been basically a two-year process of growing, building trust, understanding what the story is that we all wanted to tell, and the trust on the part of the Clemente family in allowing the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus almost complete free reign has been remarkable.
So tell us a little bit about it. It's a 45-minute suite. It's the full half of your concert next week.
So at the same time that Peter was meeting the Clementes, or shortly thereafter, they met Stephen Schwartz, and Wicked just happened to be Tyler Clemente's favorite musical, which somebody asked me about yesterday, and I was like, okay, what teenager is it not their favorite musical? So while it's, you know, great and unique, sort of predictable. So he loved Stephen Schwartz. So Stephen met the Clementes, and that was great. And he is really passionate about LGBT issues and young people specifically. And so I asked Stephen Schwartz, who is a friend of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, if he would help. And he said, absolutely, I'll help you do this. I'll help you choose the composers. And at that point, it was going to be four. And he said, I'll pick some of my friends. And that started the ball rolling. And so he signed on immediately to help coordinate what composers could, because we had already decided to use a different composer for each of the movements, albeit then just four. And it started to grow. And we chose a librettist, Pamela Stewart, from Phoenix, Arizona, and she flew up and met the family, and they fell in love with her, and she's incredible, and immediately built a bond of trust with Pam. And knowing that she also has teenage children, she's a musician and a poet and a woman of deep faith herself, and so really I think the libretto was the key when she finally began writing the poems. She ended up writing seven, and there were going to be four. Then there were going to be six. Now it's eight.
Wow.
It's been this growing thing, and since it is going to happen on Tuesday, I promise it will not be more than eight. We do not have time.
No more time to rehearse.
Pam, Hush, and Stephen Schwartz. So Stephen was not going to write one of the movements in the beginning because he had written Testimony for us 2 years before. And then his friends were so, John Corleano and Hampton Calloway were so excited about being a part of this. As it started to unfold, Stephen said, you know, hi, can I write one of the movements?
Right,
and
right.
Who's going to tell Stephen Schwartz no? And so he wrote one of the movements as well.
So, unfortunately, I dubbed a copy of the Ann Hampton Callaway song, singing part of I Love You More. It played great on two of my home machines, not so good on the other one, and I've been told we have some digital distortion. So let's play just like 30 seconds of it, so at least you can hear the sense of the music, even though there is a little bit of digital distortion on here.
I hear you say I
love you. That doesn't sound so bad to me. That's Ann Hampton Callaway singing part of I Love You More from the new choral composition Tyler Sweet, honoring the life of cyberbully victim Tyler Clemente. She'll premiere it next Tuesday and Wednesday, March 25th and 26th, in Davies Symphony Hall with the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus at the Chorus's concert Luster, an American Songbook. Ticket and other information is online at the Chorus's website, sfgmc.org. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Tyler Clemente's mother and co-founder of the Tyler Clemente Foundation, Jane Clemente and James Clemente, and Dr. Timothy C., the conductor and artistic director of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. We'll be back in half a minute to hear more music from the chorus and more about Luster, an American Songbook.
Out in the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org/LRIS or by phone at 415-989-1616.
Welcome back to Out in the Bay. We've been talking about Tyler Clemente, the subject of Tyler Sweet, which makes up about half of next week's San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus concert, Luster, an American Songbook. Let's talk a little bit now about the rest of the concert, a tribute to the American Songbook. And Ann Hampton Callaway, there's a segue there between those two.
Well, I was sitting at breakfast in New York with Stephen Schwartz. Yes, I just dropped his name. I'll be picking it up all night because I'll drop it often. And he said, as we were going through friends of his who are composers, he said, we have to have Ann Hampton Callaway write the mother's piece. And I said, who doesn't love Ann Hampton Callaway? Even with digital distortion, I'm sure it was exquisite. So Stephen asked her if she would write it, and she said, of course. So when Pam Stewart was visiting the Clementes, a story came out about Tyler and Jane, his mom, when they would leave one another for school or whatever. One of them would say, I love you, and the other would say, I love you more. And that was sort of the way they greeted each other or left each other. And so Pam really gravitated toward that story. And so she wrote the text and set it to music. And it is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, ever in my life. And so Anne, we said, okay, well, Anne, since you wrote this song, would you like to sing the part of the mother in the song that you wrote in the world premiere? And she said, yes. And so we had another half to fill, and one of Anne's passions is the American Songbook. So she is going to sing with us in the first half. It sort of is an interesting twist, because the American Songbook is a set of music basically from the 1920s to the 1950s. Gershwin, Irving Berlin,
Cole Porter,
all those people. And they were writing about current events. They were writing about things that were going on in the world
at that time,
mm-hmm. whether that was prohibition or the church or what, or all kinds of things. So what we're doing is the second half is Tyler Sweet. And we're adding that to the American Songbook, because in the 21st century, we have 8 premier composers. And so we're adding this music as the 21st century American Songbook.
So we're going to hear a lot of that. And we don't have any clips of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus in rehearsal for Lester's concert, the American Songbook portion of it.
It's not
ready yet, Eric. Well, it's going to be ready by Tuesday. We know that. But I do want to give listeners a little taste of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus actually singing. And so now we're going to hear San Francisco from its I Am Harvey Milk album, which has been nominated in the Independent Music Awards Best Soundtrack Cast Recording category.
What to do? I don't know a thing. I don't know a soul. Gotta get away. No one understands. Where do I belong? I need to run from this Iowa town. Vanish before they start pulling me down. Someplace that's better, no matter the cost. Someplace where I can be found and be lost.
That's the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus singing San Francisco, a little snippet of it from the premiere of I Am Harvey Milk last fall at the Norse Theater in San Francisco. Is I Am Harvey Milk classified as an opera, a choral opera?
It's confusing. It's probably on its way to Broadway because Andrew Lippa is a Broadway composer. But it was written as an oratorio in the very beginning, but that's kind of an off-putting term. So it's a Broadway-style musical.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear some of that Broadway style next Tuesday, Wednesday.
We absolutely will.
Yeah. And, we've only got a couple minutes left. So, Tim, I want to ask you, after Luster next Tuesday and Wednesday, information and tickets online at sfgmc.org, what will the chorus be working on? And Jane, while he's answering, think about what is the Tyler Clementi Foundation working on in current projects?
Well, Tim. The next thing that we're going to do is Sunday morning at 9:30 at Grace Cathedral. Jane and I will be speaking on the healing power of music, and that's open to the public. But we would love to have you come to our concerts. We are going to completely shift gears beginning a week from Monday night, and we are turning our repertoire eyes on Broadway with the guest artist Tony Award-winning Laura Benanti, who actually sang in I Am Harvey Milk, is returning. She was also in the somewhat ill-fated Sound of Music, the Carrie Underwood version most recently, as the Baroness. She didn't play the role of Carrie Underwood or Maria von Trapp. So she's coming, and we're going to sing everything you love from Kinky Boots, Book of Mormon, all the way to Sound of Music and The King and I.
Fantastic. And Jane Clementi, I noticed that this is one of the things on your website that people can actually do and get involved in right away. This is the Tyler Clementi Foundation website, tylerclementi.org. Become an upstander. What does that mean?
To become an upstander so that you stand up against other people that as they're being targeted by bullies.
So trying to basically turn bystanders into upstanders. We're
right.
Part of the problem if we're not part of the solution.
Correct.
General philosophy behind that.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Timothy Selig, Artistic Director of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, Jane Clementi, co-founder of the Tyler Clementi Foundation, and James Clementi, Tyler's brother. Thank you so much all for coming in to share your story. I really appreciate it, and tell us about the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you.
You can learn more, my dear listeners, about the chorus and its concerts, including next week's Luster, on the SF Gay Men's Chorus website, sfgmc.org. And you can learn more about the Tyler Clementi Foundation and its important work to stop cyberbullying and other forms of harassment and to create safe, supportive environments for LGBT folks at the Foundation's website, tylerclementi.org. That last name is spelled C-L-E-M-E-N-T-I. We'll have those links on our website, too, outinthebay.org. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. You can hear tonight's show and many past shows on our website, outinthebay.org. We can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman with occasional help from associate producer Nora Elmaligi. We thank our host station, KALW, for studio use and airtime, and tonight's engineer, Joanne Marr. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, comments, and questions. So write to us, eric@outinthebay.com and marilyn@outinthebay.com. And consider a donation on our website, outinthebay.org. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for your support. And I am out of time.